What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 147. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about the use of corticosteroids in patients with severe sepsis, answer the drug information question, does nebulized albuterol cause hypokalemia at therapeutic asthma doses, and share a resource for learning about critical care pharmacy. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode147. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article I'd like to discuss today is titled Effect of Hydrocortisone on Development of Shock Among Patients with Severe Sepsis, the HYPROS Randomized Clinical Trial. The lead author is Didier K., and this was published in JAMA November 2016. When refractory septic shock develops, hydrocortisone 200 mg IV daily is recommended by the surviving sepsis guidelines. Because of the role of excessive inflammation in the pathophysiology of septic shock, steroids seem like a logical treatment. Early studies before 1995 suggested that steroid use in shock was of no benefit and possibly even harmful. Since then, researchers have investigated various dosage schemes of corticosteroids in shock, but evidence only supported their use in refractory septic shock. The authors of this study sought to determine whether hydrocortisone therapy in patients with severe sepsis prevented the development of septic shock. The study was a multi-center, double-blind, randomized clinical trial that took place in Germany and included 380 adult patients with severe sepsis who were not in septic shock. The primary outcome was the development of septic shock within 14 days. Secondary outcomes were the time until septic shock, mortality in the intensive care unit or hospital, survival up to 180 days, assessment of secondary infections, weaning failure, muscle weakness, and hyperglycemia. No significant differences were found between the corticosteroid and placebo groups for any of the primary or secondary outcome measures. Numerically, more patients in the hydrocortisone group had a secondary infection, muscle weakness, and hyperglycemia. The authors concluded, among adults with severe sepsis not in septic shock, use of hydrocortisone compared with placebo did not reduce the risk of septic shock within 14 days. These findings do not support the use of hydrocortisone in these patients. Finding the ideal subpopulation of septic patients to use corticosteroids in has been surprisingly vexing for researchers. With the role of inflammation in sepsis, it's hard to understand why steroids are not beneficial for everyone, and this likely explains the continuation of research in this area despite so many negative trial findings. One trial to keep an eye out for is the adjunctive corticosteroid treatment in critically ill patients with septic shock, or the adrenal study. The study should complete in June 2017 and is planned to include 3,800 patients with septic shock to determine the benefits of low-dose steroids in this group of patients. The drug information question for this episode is, does nebulized albuterol cause hypokalemia at therapeutic asthma doses? The answer is yes. A study published in 2013 found a statistically significant decrease in serum potassium level of 0.3 MEQs per liter. This was in patients that were given albuterol 2.5 milligrams via nebulizer every 20 minutes for 3 doses. The mean serum potassium went from 4.6 to 4.3 60 minutes after albuterol. No hypokalemia-related EKG changes were noted. So it appears to be a statistically, but probably not clinically, significant difference. The resource I'd like to share on this episode is my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. Here are some things pharmacists have told me that led me to create the Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. Getting and staying ahead of the vast critical care medical literature is one of our greatest challenges. There are so many journals to scan, let alone articles to read to see where they fit into practice. Pharmacists want practical, critical care pharmacy education intended for practicing pharmacists. They want complex topics broken down into simple to remember and easy to apply concepts. They want skills they can apply at the bedside, not academic theory. Some have told me they feel isolated in their practice at small hospitals, and they want to know how other pharmacists are approaching various critical care challenges. The number one thing I've heard is how busy practicing pharmacists are these days. Between work, families, and fun, hardly anyone has hours to sift through the literature or read about a new skill. Every month in the Academy, I publish a skill-based masterclass where I take about an hour to dive deep into a practical critical care skill. The masterclasses are self-paced and broken up into 5 to 15-minute video segments. Patient assessment and airway pharmacology are two examples of current masterclasses. Every week, I scan the critical care literature and create an approximately 15-minute digest in video and audio formats of the most important articles. I include my opinion of where the article fits in clinical practice. That's a time commitment of only 2 hours per month for a pharmacist to develop critical care skills and stay ahead of the vast critical care literature developments. There are also Academy members-only forums to ask and answer critical care pharmacy questions and learn how others are practicing critical care. You can go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy to read what some of the founding members have to say about how the Academy is helping them in their daily practice. And if you know of a colleague that might find the Academy useful, please share the link pharmacyjoe.com/academy with them. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.